Good morning. We do have some activities for those aged 7 to 11, but older ones, feel free to pick up a Bible and listen along with us. So good morning, my name's Yigan. I'm one of the members here. I'm married to Emma, who's going to come and read to us. The passage is today from 2 Timothy chapter 4, which is found on page 1197.
Okay. So that's 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through to 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with the sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather round them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry.
Thank you. Thank you for reading, Emma. Shall we pray? Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you that Jesus is described as the living word because he gives us eternal life. And Father, we thank you for your written word, the Bible, because through it we can know what you think and we know what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so today we come to chapter 4 of Paul's second letter to Timothy. And as we've heard in previous weeks, this was written by the Apostle Paul right at the end of his ministry. And he wrote it from his prison cell in Rome. And he knows that he probably hasn't got long left before he is executed. And so Paul is passing the ministry baton on to Timothy, who was one of the young church leaders he appointed in Lystra on his first missionary journey that we've just been looking at in Acts. And this is the end of Paul's letter. And like any good lesson plan that teachers will tell you about, Paul is keeping his most important points till the end, points that he wants Timothy to really remember. And in this chapter 4, we see that Paul gives Timothy a total of 9 instructions, and we see 5 of them here in verse 2. So just reading together again, verse 2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And Paul starts with, preach the word. Now, we had seen early in Acts, when the church was first set up in Jerusalem, the apostles felt the need to delegate some of the pastoral duties to others in order for them to concentrate on preaching the word. And we had also seen recently in Acts that Paul was stoned in Timothy's hometown of Lystra, and he was stoned by the mob till they thought he was dead. So preaching the word, this gospel of Jesus Christ, is of the highest importance, a work that should clear Timothy's diary of any other responsibilities if he only has limited time, a gospel that he should be willing to give his life up for, because that is the cost of sharing the word with others in some times. So nothing in Timothy's life should have a higher priority. And we've seen earlier that some translations say preach the good news rather than preach the word. And I would even be so bold as to say that I would call it not the good news, but actually the best news. Because, you know, there's nothing, literally nothing, that we can share with people who haven't heard it. It's better news than telling them that they've won the lottery. It's better news than telling them that their premiership team has won the Premier League. And it's better news, kids, than if you find out that all your birthday presents and Christmas presents for the next 10 years will arrive tomorrow. And it is the best news because the Bible tells us that God so loved the world that it gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So Jesus came and died on the cross to take the punishment that we as sinners deserve. So he died in our place, and he invites us to accept his offer of spending eternity with him. And it is also the best news because you don't have to do anything. I mean, in fact, you can't do anything to earn this gift. It is free. A And Jesus has already paid the price for all of our sin, my sin, your sin, by dying on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. It is a finished work. And finally, it's the best news because it's available to everyone, as the Bible says, to Jews and Gentiles alike. Now, Paul says that he is not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And what a wonderful message that we have to share. Now, however people choose to hear our message of good news, I mean, we should be proud that we are sharing God's invitation to spend eternity with him after death. Why should we be ashamed of sharing that with our friends? Next, Paul tells Timothy to be prepared in season and out of season. And for me, I think this is a real encouragement about God's truth and steadfastness in our naturally chaotic human lives. God knows this, and in this verse, he warns Timothy that both internally and externally, he will be in season and out of season. And that's true for all of us. I mean, sometimes our Christian lives are in season. It seems like the height of a lovely, warm, sunny summer day. Internally, our prayer lives may be blooming. Reading the Bible is a joy, and we're learning new truths every day. And externally, the gospel fields are heavy with fruit ready for harvesting. But at other times, it seems out of season, more like the depths of a dark, grey, cold, windy winter day. And we struggle to hear God's voice and feel his presence. And sharing the gospel seems to constantly fall on deaf ears, and apathy seems to reign. But you know, the wonderful reality is that however we may personally feel, we know that God's nature and God's presence and God's promises never change. The truth, the power, and the saving grace of Jesus' death on the cross is always available. And God can turn even the most unpromising situations, even the hardest heart, even the greatest of sinners. And in fact, Paul calls himself the worst of sinners, saved by God's mercy, when he turned from a great persecutor of the church to its greatest evangelist after God met him on his conversion experience on the road to Damascus. So we have to obey God's command to preach good news, to have faith, and to leave his Holy Spirit to open hearts and change lives. So let's be ready to answer God's call to share the good news at any time. And then lastly, we read about the shepherding of God's people, the church. In our mission relaunch, we'll be looking at the stages of bringing non-believers to faith. Relationship building, respect building, relevance building, and hopefully leading to a response. And similarly, after we are saved, believers, we will all be at different stages of our walk with God at different times. And Paul urges Timothy to deal with believers with different needs. Where there is any misunderstanding, Timothy is urged to correct the wrong teaching. Now, we must never forget whose word it is that we are preaching and defending. The Bible is God's word, and it contains his thoughts and his instructions to us. And in verse 1 that Emma read to us, Paul claims God's authority in giving Timothy these instructions. So he says, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. So verse 1 is a reminder that one day Jesus will return as the judge of all humanity, as our judge. There will be no exception or escape. He will judge the living and the dead. And Paul tells us that knowing this to be a certainty, we are to preach the gospel enthusiastically so that our friends, our family, our acquaintances have the chance to repent and accept Jesus as their personal savior. Next, Paul tells Timothy to rebuke those who willfully and persistently oppose God or his gospel. Now, rebuke is a harsh word. And if you remember from last week, Ian and Robert showed us that the tool for rebuking is like a pair of pliers to pull up crooked nails so that they don't make the new shelf being put up from being put up crooked. And similarly, Paul knows that the dark forces are gathering against the church in Galatia. And he says the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. So they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So the church itself is in grave danger. I mean, isn't it easier and less controversial to say that all religions are the same and that everyone will get to heaven? But we know that Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And wouldn't it be great promise to tell people that when you become a Christian, you become super rich, and all your health worries just melt away. But Paul warns us that Christ, following Christ, will lead to hardship, and he demonstrated that firsthand in his ministry. So any attempt to corrupt the basic doctrines of the church must be met with a strong and immediate rebuke so that others are not led astray. Eternal life with God or without God is the cost of accepting the gospel or rejecting it. And the last group that Paul mentions are those in need of encouragement. And while the gospel message may say simple to some, it may be harder to grasp and fully accept for others. And other doctrines may prove difficult to understand. So those who take longer to grow and mature should be nurtured and cared for so that their faith can take proper root and they can grow to be strong, mature believers. Now, as with many of Paul's commands to preach the word, there is a reminder that our motivation should be similar to that of our Lord Jesus, with love for the audience, just as Dan has shown us earlier with the heart, that when we share the gospel, we don't just throw the ball at them, we give it with a loving heart to demonstrate Jesus' love. And Paul asked Timothy to have great patience and careful instruction. Now, at this point of his ministry, Timothy was actually losing members of his church to more popular preachers, and Paul is telling him to continue in faith, to share the true gospel of the good news, to explain it clearly, and to preach it continuously with patience. Now, I love this final instruction for Paul to Timothy as he passes on the baton of sharing the gospel, because it parallels what our Lord Jesus did. You remember, when Jesus called the brother fishermen, Peter and Andrew, to be his apostles, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And in the Great Commission, just before he was taken up to heaven, the last thing Jesus says to his apostles is, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." So sharing the gospel, the good news of what Jesus Christ came to earth to do for sinners, was at the very heart of what Jesus and Paul wants us to do as believers. Now, if he wanted to, Jesus could easily take on the task of spreading the gospel himself, but he didn't choose to do that. Instead, he entrusts this most important of jobs of evangelism to us. Isn't it wonderful that we are God's partners? We are his messengers. And the great thing is that he equips us and he is with us. So he doesn't send us to do something that he hasn't enabled us to do. So let's all step out boldly to preach the good news. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction.